We are gathered here today to express our anger and our disgust because NYU has violated the faith and the trust that we placed in them.
77 people, including AFL-CIO President John Sweeney and State Senator Tom Duane, were arrested today in an act of civil disobedience held outside of New York University's Bob's Library. They were protesting the university's refusal to renew its contract with the school's union of graduate students.
In sweltering humidity, these protesters decried NYU President John Sexton and his administration's decision to abandon negotiations with the Graduate Student Organizing Committee, UAW Local 210.
We only signed that contract in 2001 because the union promised that they would stay out of academic decision-making. However, they did not live up to that promise. They challenged us on who could be at the front of the classroom. Nothing is more fundamental to an institution of higher education than that.
Republican Michael Bloomberg may have won the race for mayor, but the Democrats seem to have won most of the other races throughout the city. The offices of borough presidents, several judicial seats, and dozens of city council seats were all up for grabs yesterday, and all went to the Democratic candidate, many of which were also the incumbent. The Board of Elections, which is in charge of overseeing the election process, reported no major problems at the polling stations throughout the city. Voters also approved three ballot initiatives, one of which could start the process of constructing a 2nd Avenue subway that would also provide east side access to the Long Island Railroad. Governor Pataki and Mayor Bloomberg have announced the New York/New York 3 agreement. This agreement will supply funds to finance and develop 9,000 new units of supportive housing in New York City. Supportive housing is subsidized housing that also provides social services. Units for clients with substance abuse disorders, HIV or AIDS, and mental illnesses will be available. Housing for chronically homeless individuals will also be provided, which should reduce the number of homeless in shelters and on the street by 2/3 in 5 years. Previous agreements of this nature, signed in 1990 and 1999, only produced units for single adults with mental illness and some history of homelessness. Capital costs for the supportive housing will be split evenly by the state and the city over the next 10 years as the housing is developed. There appears to be an increase in the number of people leaving Manhattan to go to work. Reverse commuters, as they are known, are people that live in Manhattan but work in suburban areas surrounding the city. Data from the most recent census shows an increase in reverse commuters by more than 8% from the previous decade. The increase has resulted in the reduction or elimination of ticket discounts for reverse commuters on the Metro North and the New Jersey Transit. Tutors that were not allowed to work in the city's public schools are now allowed to go back. Under the No Child Left Behind Act, students that were tutored and did not show progress over 2 years were not allowed to keep the same tutor. The clause had been placed in the act to make sure students were getting the help they needed. Several urban school districts felt the rule was unfair because the children were left with no tutors. So the U.S. government is granting a waiver to the city's public schools. This waiver will allow tutors to continue teaching students who aren't doing well in school. The city's public schools have continued to fall short of federal goals for achievement, and the city's Department of Education is the third in the nation to get this waiver, following Chicago and Boston. For Earshot, I'm Anna Meharada.
Earshot's Annie Meyer spoke to some undergraduate students about the strike. Most students plan to attend their classes next week.
I have like a chem lab in Silver and they're picketing there and, you know, you can't really skip chem lab. And I mean, I am paying to come here, so I'm not going to not go to classes that aren't affected by it. My classes taught by TAs are not happening, and I have one professor who's moving class off campus.
But I do have a lecture with 275 people in Silver Center. I just hope I won't be alone.
I will be going to some of my classes during the strike. I would like to continue learning, but I was doing a lot of that through my TAs, so some of my lectures are going to become increasingly important, but some of my classes are being moved so far away that it's just a complete inconvenience and I will probably not attend.
Despite the intention to attend class, many students support their TAs.
I absolutely support the grad students. I think considering the work they do compared to other faculty members who get paid a lot more, they are deserving of some kind of raise or any benefits that they're asking for.
The university is handling it in a way where they're trying to reassure us that our education isn't going to be affected, and I'm not sure that's necessarily true.
The only thing I've heard is that the graduate students aren't getting paid enough and they're not getting, you know, the proper benefits. So with that, I totally agree with that because, I mean, I know how hard it is to be a worker.
I support them even more after getting the letters from John Sexton because they're really slimy.
The reaction to John Sexton's emails has not been altogether positive.
I think that John Sexton is pointing a lot of fingers in the letters that he's been sending out, and I think that although it may be true that he tried to make a reasonable deal, that the grad students really got screwed over by the new administration in the government. And I think that it's really unreasonable of him to be placing so much blame on them. I mean, they're kids just like us.
He's kind of vague in what he says. And I've read the letters and I don't know if I really understand him, but I feel like his letters are like, you can't talk to the graduate students, or like condemning of you if you talk to the graduate students and you don't cross the picket line because they're wrong.
Several graduate assistants at NYU are working under federally endowed scholarships and therefore don't have to belong to GSOC. Mike Arroyo spoke to one of these graduate assistants for a unique perspective into student opinion.
I'm joined now by Seema Srivastava, who is one of a handful of graduate assistants who is not a member of GSOC and continuing to teach. Thanks for being here, Seema.
Thank you.
To start off, could you explain for our listeners why you are not striking?
Well, one of the major reasons I'm not striking is because I'm a graduate student at the Institute of Fine Arts, which is a program that's primarily privately endowed. And my fellowships that I've had over these several years haven't really been dependent upon teaching assistantships or things of that nature. So I've been sort of detached from the union and their goals, as well as the institution itself is physically detached from the university. So I don't really know that much about what's going on with the union.
What have your experiences been with the Department of Fine Arts and the university in general? Have they been relatively positive?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say it's been the Department of Fine Arts at NYU is an amazing place to work. Everyone's very supportive. They're very respectful of their TAs and their adjuncts. I feel a real loyalty, a real sense of loyalty to the professors that I work with in the Fine Arts Department, and also the students. So I would have to say without a doubt that my experience in the Fine Arts Department has been incredibly positive.
Now, based on what you know about what the unionized grad students have been going through, do you think that their dissatisfaction with the university is justified at all?
Well, I definitely think that the union, I guess some of the problems that I've heard voiced through just, you know, random graduate students, that some of the duties that they have to perform and some of the work that they have to do, the way that they're treated, it sounds sort of unfair. And I guess if I were in that position, I would probably have a different perspective on the union. But since my experience has been so good, you know, I can only respond in relation to that. So, but I'm sure that many of these students who claim that they've been mistreated, I'm sure that many of them are telling the truth. And I don't blame them for striking.
Now, not every school in the country recognizes unions of graduate students, and the National Labor Relations Board has made the case optional to begin with. Do you think a union of graduate students is appropriate in the NYU environment?
Well, I guess that's one of the major issues with GSOC, is that NYU says that students should come first and employees second. However, with grad students, you have a very unique situation. You have a unique situation where you have students that are also employees. And so it's a sort of paradox because they are students. And so essentially what they're saying is, since we are students, our needs should come first. And that's really what they're rallying for. So I'm really not sure if I see both perspectives, I guess, in that regard.
Okay. Some professors claim that they should be responsible for taking care of the work that would have been done by the TAs who are going on strike. Do you think that they have that responsibility or not?
Well, I feel like if I were a student paying for a class and, you know, needing wanting credit for the courses, I would hope, I guess, that my professor did grade my work and took care of it. So, and I think if I were a professor here, that I would. Having said that, in some way, I think the professor doing the work of the TA, in some ways, maybe undermines, you know, the goals of the larger strike. So, again, I'm not really quite sure what the correct answer would be. But I think if I were a professor, I would teach. I would grade the work and give students grades.
Okay, finally, you have been a member of adjunct faculty at NYU and also at FIT, and about a year and a half ago, NYU's administration conflicted with the adjuncts about a contract. It's a sort of similar situation to this one. Do you think that the adjunct faculty would have been more justified for a strike than the grad students now or not?
I guess having stated that I'm, you know, not an expert on the union and what exactly is going on with this strike, having been an adjunct and an adjunct currently at a different university, I have to say that my experience as an adjunct is, I think I have probably more views on that perspective. I think as an adjunct at NYU in the Fine Arts Department, I get paid actually decently. At different universities, generally speaking, you just really don't get paid very much. So in some ways, I think adjuncting is fine temporarily. But if it's extended, as it is in many universities who essentially rely on adjuncts, I think it's a strange kind of exploitation where they continue to get paid nothing and don't receive any benefits. So, I think that's my view on adjuncting.
Great. Once again, my guest has been Seema Srivastava, a graduate student at NYU School of Fine Arts. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Among the graduate assistants on strike is a host here at WNYU. Dee Harvey spoke to Chris Fraga of the Saturday Sound Between for his views on GSOC's rights.
I'm here talking to Chris Fraga, Saturday Sound Between DJ and member of GSOC. Chris, welcome to Earshot.
Thanks for having me.
What do you get paid to do at NYU?
At NYU, I'm a paid graduate assistant for a professor in the Anthropology Department and the director of the Center for Religion and Media.
And can you just explain to us what the situation is with GSOC and admin right now?
Sure. Let's see, where's the best place to begin? Starting in 2001, GSOC, the Graduate Student Union here at NYU, had a contract recognized by NYU that guaranteed graduate student workers certain benefits as far as salary increases, health benefits, and a grievance procedure. That contract expired on August 31st of this year, and NYU announced that it would not renegotiate a new contract with us, basically because the National Labor Relations Board had ruled in 2004 that graduate student union worker unions in private universities were not legally mandatorily recognized by private universities.
There's a strike due on Wednesday. Is there any way that the university could avert the strike at this point?
Absolutely. The only thing the university needs to do to avert a strike is to enter into negotiations for a fair contract. We're not asking for ridiculous stipend increases. We're not asking for expanded healthcare benefits. We're simply asking that the NYU administration enter into negotiations with our elected union so that we can work under a fair contract.
Will you be striking on Wednesday?
Absolutely.
How long will the strike go on? How's it going to work?
The strike's going to go on as long as it has to go on, as long as it takes to show NYU that our labor is valuable and that NYU cannot function as normal without our labor.
The administration has sent emails to students saying that the United Auto Workers wants to interfere in academic decision-making. What's your response to that?
The administration is going to submit a lot of anti-union rhetoric, that they're going to use a lot of misleading language to sort of cloud the issue. To call us the United Auto Workers Union is misleading because that sort of suggests that we're being manipulated or that the graduate student workers are not who's responsible for these decisions. The people who make these decisions are graduate students. They're not anybody but graduate students. Yes, we need to disrupt classes. It's a sort of necessary step, but we've been pushed to this step by the NYU administration.
How do you feel about the argument that graduate students who work for NYU aren't employees in the normal sense of the word?
I think there are very few employees in the normal sense of the word. I think every case is going to be unique. To argue that holding recitation sections or meeting with students outside of class or answering emails or grading papers is not labor, is not work, just seems absurd to me. If anyone who's ever done that kind of work knows that it's work, it's labor, it's nothing more. It's ridiculous to call it something else just because we're trying to sort of valorize what knowledge workers do as something that's somehow not labor, as though labor is like a dirty thing. I think labor is a very valuable and a very honorable thing.
To what extent does NYU depend on the labor of you and other graduate assistants to run the university?
We provide a substantial amount of labor, as will be evident starting on Wednesday. I don't have any specific figures as for how many classes are taught by TAs or run by GAs, but any undergraduates out there know that, you know, they have to take, for instance, MAP courses in order to graduate. And they know that their MAP courses are largely coordinated by graduate students, and that when they have questions or when they have problems, they go to their graduate student assistants before going to the actual faculty member in order to get their questions resolved or get their grades completed or whatever. So, you know, that sort of coursework constitutes a large part of what NYU's education is, and we are the ones who do that work.
Has the current dispute caused any tension between graduate assistants and faculty?
I think there are a lot of departments that are extremely supportive of what we're doing. There's actually a committee called Faculty Democracy, who have been extremely vocal and extremely supportive of our cause. They've put out letters, for instance, countering some of the more outrageous claims that Sexton and his spin team have been putting out there. So I think we actually do have quite a bit of support among the faculty.
And you mentioned these outrageous claims. Could you give us a few examples of things that have been said that you feel are...
I think they have enough publicity. They have enough power. I don't need to repeat their lines for them. But if you want to, you know, just pay any attention to anything that they're putting out there, you'll find some really ridiculous things that they're saying.
Is it the case that they did enter into discussions over the summer with the union?
No, that is not the case. They have totally misrepresented what they were offering to us in the summer. They were not offering to enter into negotiations. They handed us a unilateral sort of option saying, you will accept these terms of a contract and you have 48 hours to do so, when, you know, it's impossible for an entire union in the middle of the summer, no less, to make a vote on that sort of a contract. So the union organizers decided that we couldn't accept it.
How would you answer their claims that because the terms of the contract they offer you were generous, that there was no need for you to be represented by a union?
I think that's totally misleading. You know, NYU has shown immediately that we cannot trust them to simply extend their beneficence to us and make us their clients. You know, I mean, our contract ended on August 31st. On September 1st, our healthcare was cut. You know, I mean, that sort of under the table stuff that they can pull when we don't have union organization, union representation, or a legitimate contract that we've negotiated, says to me that they're completely untrustworthy.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I'd just like to say that, you know, on behalf of the graduate student organizing committee and all of the graduate students who are going out on strike, this is not something that we want to do. This is not something that we're looking forward to doing. This is really our last straw. You know, this is the last step that we can take to show NYU that we're absolutely serious about our right to work under a contract. So for any undergraduates out there or parents or faculty members who have reservations about our actions, I encourage you to, you know, get in touch with GSOC, get in touch with the union. I actually have the information for our website. We're at www.2110uaw.org/GSOC. That's 2110uaw.org/GSOC. And really give some credence to the fact that we deserve to have our labor valued, and we deserve to have representation.
Thanks for talking to me today,
Thank
Chris.
You so much.
Thanks, Dee. While some NYU professors side with the administration against the formation of a union, others, including those in the Faculty Democracy Group, have come out in support of the GAs. Janet, you spoke to Andrew Ross, one of the group's founders.
Tensions between New York University and its graduate teaching assistants may create complications for scheduled classes and exams. NYU professors are rallying in support of their graduate students and preparing for the effects of a TA strike. American history professor Andrew Ross is one of the founders of Faculty Democracy, a faculty group that supports the unionization of graduate students.
Could you just tell me a little bit about the Faculty Democracy, first off?
Yeah, Faculty Democracy is a loosely organized faculty initiative. We have over 220 members now, and we founded the group in May at a town hall meeting, which was hosted by the AAUP, the local chapter of the AAUP. And we hosted the meeting because the administration had refused to sponsor a town hall meeting during the time of the semester. Eventually sponsored a town hall meeting in the middle of the summer when less people were around. And also our faculty council refused to sponsor the meeting. So we formed this organization to try and bring transparency and democracy to decision-making at NYU. And the decision to break the union, the Graduate Student Union, is probably just one of the more egregious examples of undemocratic decision-making here at NYU. And there are many faculty who are outraged by this decision and by the fact that faculty have not been consulted.
Now, what is the reasoning behind the Faculty Democracy specifically supporting CSOC?
Well, one of our some of our efforts go to supporting our graduate students' desire to have a union, because we feel that's right and just, and it's part of the larger goals of the organization. But we also have these larger goals, which are to try and reform the governance structure here at NYU to make decision-making more transparent. Eventually, we hope to make the fiscal affairs of the university more transparent, because neither faculty nor students can get any access to fiscal statistics at NYU. We don't know what happens with the money here, and we feel in an institution like this, faculty and students should know what is happening fiscally. And also to bring a greater degree of democracy to decision-making, which is increasingly centralized on the top floor of BOPST, which is where the senior administrators hang out.
Now, the support that the Faculty Democracy has given to the graduate TAs, does this create any sort of tension between the faculty and the university's administration?
I don't know about tension. It certainly does create a conflict. I mean, our opinion is clearly opposed to the position, the union-breaking position that's been taken by the administration. So we're entirely at odds with that decision. And yes, it does generate conflict, needlessly, in our opinion, since it's the administration's the administration could very easily avoid all of the conflict and the disruption if they sat down and negotiated and granted the students the contract that they need and they deserve. So yes, there is a lot of tension.
Do you think the graduate students will prevail?
It's certainly my hope that they will. The administration seems very dug in over this, and none of us can really figure out why. It's taken a very strong strong position from the outset. It has been unwavering in its desire to bust the union. This is unusual given given the history here of unions at NYU. It's unusual in New York City that a large liberal institution like NYU would so visibly try to break a union. And we can only conclude that there's a lot of pressure on the president and trustees from Ivy League institutions who are threatened by similar developments, graduate students organizing at campuses like Columbia, Yale, Brown, and Penn. We can only conclude that a lot of pressure is coming from those quarters because the president certainly is not listening to his faculty, certainly is not listening to the graduate students, and I think the bulk of the undergraduate students will also align themselves with the graduate students on this.
How do you think the administration has handled the explaining the reasoning behind not unionizing for the grad students?
That's a good question because on the one hand, the administration wants to argue that the university workplace is not like other workplaces. It's not like corporate workplaces, that special rules apply when apparently employees are not employees. They're apprentices. I'm referring here to the graduate students. On the other hand, in its rhetoric and the propaganda that the administration has been putting out, and I use propaganda in a very precise sense because it is intended to justify the position, and a lot of it is based on misleading and inaccurate representation of the history of the union here at NYU. That rhetoric uses basically the same anti-union tactics as any corporate employer would use. And in addition, the university has employed corporate law firms that specialize in union busting and has spent millions of dollars of NYU money on that effort, which to date has been wasted for the most part. I think most students don't have no idea how much money has been spent. I have no idea how much money has been spent because fiscal affairs at this university are not transparent. No one can have access to them. But it surely has been a lot of wasted money.
Are there any faculty, professors, or whomever who are against the strike that you know and resentful that there will be this disruption in classes?
Yes, there are faculty are anti-union at NYU, and they tend to be concentrated in particular departments. And we've asked specifically that faculty not intimidate students. Administrators, however, have not heeded that call, and there have been a number of instances where either chairs of departments or senior administrators have made it quite clear to students that there will be consequences if they withdraw their labor, although they're unwilling to name what these consequences are. These are typical tactics intended to generate fear, intended to intimidate students, typical anti-union tactics which we see in any corporate workplace.
Great. Do you have any last words about this?
I would say, I think it's a very sad thing that this is happening at NYU. Strikes, especially at liberal institutions like this, generate a lot of conflict and tension that takes a long time to heal. And there was a great strike at Yale a few years ago, and the community there have still not really rebounded. The legacy of that strike is still being felt in all sorts of ways, and I know my colleagues, we would rather that this was not happening at all, and we feel powerless. However, we feel it's entirely in the hands of the administration to avert the strike, but they're really dug in, and I think that's quite tragic in a way.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your opinions.
That's it for this week's Earshot. Tune in next week when we'll be talking to Ben Scott of Free Press about the broadband duopoly and the threat to internet neutrality.
For Earshot, I'm Dee Harvey.
And I'm Mike Arroyo.
Earshot was produced by Dee Harvey and engineered by Mike Arroyo. Stay tuned for John and Shake 'em on Down.